Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and in the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He kisses me on the cheek, jumps off the stage and disappears into nothing. Like, it's literally like he disappeared in thin air. And I was just like, what? He's a shapeshifter, I swear. You know, I was like, in my eyes playing tricks on me, he just disappeared. And, you know, that was the last I saw Prince.
Evening, folks. Welcome to Midnight Chats, the music interview podcast for late night listening. My name is Greg Cochran.
I'm Stuart Stubbs, but that's completely irrelevant this evening because, Greg, you're the star of tonight's show, along with Brittany Howard is your guest. Tell me all about her.
Yeah, well, listen, Stu, you know that I love a quote, right? And I love this quote from Adele. You're familiar with Adele?
Nope.
Okay, well, she's a musician.
Okay.
She sold a lot of albums over the years. And she's got this great quote about this evening's podcast guest. And she says, "There's something about Britney that puts fire in my soul. She's so fucking full of soul, overflowing, dripping, that I almost can't handle it."
I think Adele said that about me at one point, actually, as well. That does sound familiar. Imagine having Adele say that about you.
Adele needs to join an orderly queue, because basically so many genius artists are a fan of Brittany Howard, Tyler, the Creator, Childish Gambino, Kendrick Lamar. They're all huge fans of hers. I mean, she's won 5 Grammys. Like, she's like an artist. They absolutely love her.
Well, what I particularly like about this episode when I heard it was how much of a laugh she seems. The talk about, we're going to put a link below in the show notes for the Kissy Dolls thing that you're talking about. I'm not going to say any more than that. They're pretty creepy. I've just been looking at the site again. There's real hair on these dolls now. That's coming up. There's a lot in this, including her love for fishing, which I don't think we've ever had an angler on the show before.
It is a first, yeah. She's big into her angling, as you're about to hear. I spoke to Brittany, she was at home in Nashville when we spoke, and it made the very depressing first week of January this year a whole lot brighter. As you say, she's got amazing vibes, great energy. And yeah, got to talk about fishing, got an A-grade story about playing Prince's house, and I wondered if Alabama Shakes would ever do anything else, so I got to ask her about that too.
One extra thing I just wanted to add, Greg, sorry. If you listen to this and you are one of the people who sourced a convertible car for Britney after her Madrid show, we are trying to find this group of people. She asked for a scooter. Was it a scooter? I think it was a scooter.
A moped or something, yeah.
A moped. They got a convertible car. If that is you, please get in touch with the show, maybe via our socials. We're at Midnight Chats Pod on Instagram.
We want this to be the talk of Madrid. We're officially launching the investigation right here, right now. Britney's got a solo album, a recent solo album out, and it's the second one. It's called What Now? It's really, really great. I urge you to go and check it out. And also, we talk a bit about a poem that's included on that album. It's by Maya Angelou, and the title of that poem is A Brave and Startling Truth. So yeah, let's hear from Brittany Howard on Midnight Chats.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
In my preparation for speaking to you, there's something I need to know more about. I'm currently on a website called kissydollsusadirect.com, which sounds like the kind of thing that would get me banned from the internet. But I found out about this via your TikTok a few weeks ago. It's hilarious and so scary. Can you describe what I'm looking at and where it's come from?
Listen. As the CEO of KissyDollsUSAdirect.com, you know, there's not a lot that I'm going to say about it, except that we get very bored on a tour bus and we take things too far.
These creations, just for people listening, basically they are like miniatures, the dolls obviously, but what are they made out of? What's the material?
I found this very unusual clay on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. It's the most unusual clay I've ever worked with. I don't know what it's made out of, but we just started messing with it and it became Kissy dolls, you know, like little clay heads. We put little wigs on them and we paint them up, give them names, pop them on the internet. They're for sale.
I know. There's literally a website store. I'm on it. They're currently sold out. It's obviously very exclusive.
They're a hit.
Yeah. They are a hit. They've got different names. My favorite one is Evelyn Peckpeeper.
Evelyn Peckpeeper. Yeah. That one, that's one of our first ones we created. Zach Cockrell's actually an artisan at the plant, and that was one of his favorites. It was hard to see her go.
Tell me, is there going to be more? Is there going to be more Kissy dolls coming soon?
To be determined. maybe not early this year, because we kind of had the plant shut down for over the holidays, so it might take a while to get things started back up.
Yeah, fair enough. We know the demand is there, though.
The demand is there, and you know, I'm not going to say like I'm not purposefully creating more demand.
I'm going to post a link in the show notes to that thing, so that anybody listening to this feeling completely disorientated about what we're talking about can go and check it out. But yeah, these dolls they're amazing, and I was obsessed when I found them.
I knew this would follow me.
Yeah, exactly. What have you started, Brittany? This is the thing now. I mean, sticking on kind of social media and like going, I was, you know, in my preparation for speaking to you, obviously I was checking out kind of what you've been up to, and your dogs Wilma and Wanda also make regular appearances on your social media. Is that Wilma or Wanda I can see in the background?
Oh, that's Willie. She's probably chewing on an extension cable. Come here, don't do that. Here's Willie. Here, say something in the microphone, Will. Hey everybody.
They look so chilled. Is that their personalities?
No.
One of them's turn it on for the cameras.
One of them's a puppy. As soon as anybody's looking, she seems sweet, but she's a puppy. And it's been very difficult around here with her. You know, she's a little dog. She likes to talk. She likes to bark. She likes to pee on the rugs. So it's just been all hands on deck since I got her. So put that on top of trying to promote an album and trying to tour. What was I thinking? I don't know.
This is it. You're a puppy parent. It's a demanding thing.
You know, I Googled. I was like, what is the worst breed to house train? And it said Dachshund, miniature Dachshund. Yeah.
They've got a reputation.
They have a reputation. I didn't really know that. It was too late by the time I found that out, but I'm experiencing that.
I know that also, like, you're a keen angler, right? You love to go fishing. And like, do you, how often do you get out and do you take the dogs with you when you go?
I cannot take Wanda. She has a high prey drive. You know, she's also a little weenie dog. High prey drive. And you know, they're bred to chase and hunt small animals. A fish is a small animal. And so I can't take her anywhere near fish. She has a fit. One time I was fishing, couldn't get the fish off of the hook fast enough. She jumps, like leaps in the air, lands on the hook. Had to take her to the vet. Huge emergency vet bill. So she's not allowed to go at all anymore for her own safety. Wilma, she's new. You know, I got her and I haven't taken her out fishing yet. We'll see how it goes. But I do love fishing. I've been doing it since I was probably like 4 or 5 years old. That's just something I would do with my family. And it's continued. Yeah.
My dad was a keen angler, and I haven't got to do it much, but I always have like fond memories of going out with him when I was young and like just spending that like one-to-one time with my parent. Like, Is that where it came from for you as well? And is that like the enduring passion of getting out to spend some time on your own, a bit of thinking time?
Yeah, you know, it's very grounding when you're out there in nature. It's just kind of a reset. I feel like, you know, for me, life can be so hectic and it can feel very chaotic and never ending. And you go out on the road and you're giving a lot of energy. You're sleeping on a bus, you're sore, and you come home and you just want to arriving. And you just want to get back to yourself. And I found that fishing is a great way for me to do that. It's a great way for me to reconnect to myself. And then when I come back from the fishing trip, I feel like a little bit more like I've arrived at home. And I started fishing way back when my dad and my mom used to fish for catfish a long time ago. And it'd be like a picnic and we sit out there and we spend time together. And it was really fun. And me and my dad continued that tradition of just going out there and sitting late at night, overnight sometimes to catch catfish. And I taught him how to fish for bass, you know, all the different techniques. And that's just something that makes us both feel like little kids. And it's cool hanging out with your parents, like having that kind of like inner child experience.
Do you have any like top memories of going fishing, like particular locations or particular fish that you've caught that you just thought, wow, like it doesn't get better than this?
I remember I was in Poland. I was like in, I think, Warsaw, and we had a day off, and I had asked the promoter of this festival, can you take me fishing? And he thought it was hilarious. But in Poland, it's a little different than America. Like, it's different from the United Kingdom as well. Like, here we have, like, public land. You can just go and fish. And there, it's like, you got, like, these clubs, or you have to ask for permission.
Okay.
And so we go to this club. And it had these giant gates, and we go through these gates, and this place was nice. Like, the landscaping was a 10 out of 10. And you go to the desk and check in, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And there's this little guy. They didn't think much about me. They'd never seen somebody like me come in and ask to go fishing. So they give me, like, a cane pole, which is just a stick, essentially, with some corn. A cane pole with some corn on the hook. And I'm catching these little fish. I think they're calling them roach. I'm catching these little tiny fish. And I was doing this for about an hour. And I turn around and look at the guy. And I was like, so is this bait? Or I'm like, what are we doing here? And he started laughing. And he's like, oh, you want to catch real fish, huh? I was like, yeah. And, you know, we get in this little boat, this little plastic boat, it's me and this guy. And this guy, I'm not going to say he was like, he wasn't the kindest guy. So we get in the boat. He passes me a rod. And I'm nervous because this guy's like staring at me like, oh, she thinks she can catch a fish. So I like cast. It was like a terrible cast. It was, I was like embarrassed. And he was like, you can throw better than that. She's like, yeah, you're throwing like a girl. And I was like, okay, well, where I'm from, we don't say that no more. But whatever, dude. And I cast it. And I'm casting out far. I let the lure fall. And I hook into the biggest trout I've ever seen in my life. It must have been like 30 inches long or something. I don't know. Definitely a chunky, chunky fish. And I look at this man's face, and he was looking at me in disbelief and shock. And I was like, oh, yeah, buddy, I'm out here fishing. You know what I'm saying? I bet you didn't expect that. And then we became best friends.
I was going to say, that's the glee, the feeling of just like of that moment must have been so good.
The glee sharing that with a stranger is a great memory. I'll never forget it.
In terms of getting to music, we spoke once before. It was a long time ago. Alabama Shakes were in the UK playing your first shows here. So this was like, gonna say 2011, 2012 must have been. And I remember we talked a lot about the sort of strange and exotic food that you'd encountered on that first trip to Europe. You'd been eating snails in Paris, you'd been eating haggis in Scotland. And I wondered whether like any of those things became like culinary favorites of yours in the end.
No. No, I remember that trip. I remember that trip coming to the UK for the first time. And bringing this little digital camera that my managers had given me. And I remember having just the best time. And I took pictures of everything. I took pictures of the red telephone booths. And I was asking for a crumpet. I was like, give me a crumpet. Where can I find a crumpet? And then I finally had the crumpin. I was like, oh.
You're like, this is just average.
Yeah, it was pretty average. Yeah, but I did it. My little scavenger hunt, my little English scavenger hunt. Yeah, I had the mushy peas. I had the fish and chips. I had some sort of like, what it was, some sort of vinegar sauce y'all be putting on stuff. I had that too. Yeah, fond memories.
I mean, what's your kind of like recollections of that period, like generally? I mean, literally a few months before that, you're like still working jobs back home, and then like, you know, things start to move. You're in the UK. Everything's probably pretty like overwhelming. Like, what are your reflections on that period and the person you were at that point?
I mean, I was like early 20s, very young, so I had a lot of energy. I was very excited to be going. I couldn't believe I was like traveling the world. Never saw that coming for my life. So I had eyes wide open. I wanted to experience everything. I mean, I remember being in Spain and meeting these two people on the street, and they were like, we couldn't get tickets to your show. And I was like, I'll give you a ticket. I'll give you tickets to my show if you bring me a moped after the show. And so like, they're like, we will, we promise. So I give them the tickets. I go out the back door after the show, and there's a convertible. And I was like, this isn't a moped. And they were like, well, it's the best we could do. So I just hop in the car. We're just like driving through Spain at night. It was awesome. So I had the best time. You know, I'd never seen anything like it.
Did you sort of lean into the adventure of it? Like, did you sort of think this might only happen once? Like, I'm gonna get in a convertible with two people I've just met and go and see Madrid, whatever it was.
100%. I was definitely like not sure how long this is gonna last for. I had high hopes and I was willing to work really hard, but just living in the moment. Like I said, I was like a young person and we would stay out late. And I mean, we were running amok. It was funny because like in Australia, we were doing, I think it's called Big Day Out. It's a traveling festival. And so you travel around the whole country. And every night when the festival's over, they open up a bar for the bands, and the bands can go to the bar and drink for free. And so we go to the bar, and they quit serving us. After about the third bar, they were like, are y'all album chicks? I was like, yeah, we are. And they're like, y'all got to get out of here. We were showing out. Because I always tell people, everybody's like, oh, rock and roul bands, they must party so hard. No, it's the soul bands. Something wrong with us.
I know, yeah, that I've been to that festival as well, and I've actually been in those bars, and like that is drinking them dry is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
who was with you? Who were the other, because it's like that Big Day Out, I don't think happens anymore, but it was like a touring, it was the same lineup, wasn't it, that moved around different cities in exactly. Australia and New Zealand. So who was out on with you at that time? Did you manage to like persuade any other bands to come drinking with you?
I'm trying to remember, so long ago. I remember Gary Clark Jr. was there. Red Hot Chili Peppers was there, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And that's kind of all I can remember right now.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, yeah. Right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
It's obviously like a really exciting time for you right now. You're sharing your second project under your own name. It's called What Now? But I wanted to reverse a couple of years, if I may. And I loved your album Jamie, released in 2019. And a couple of years later, you released Jamie Reimagined, where there was a number of your music peers reworked those songs in their own kind of interpretations and in their own ways. That was people like Bon Iver and Fred Again and Michael Kiwanuka and Childish Gambino, so many amazing people. Those songs were really, really personal to you, obviously. So what did you make of sort of handing them over to others to interpret them? And were there any of those that, when they came back to you for the first time, any of those versions from other artists where you couldn't believe what they'd done with it?
I was so excited that people wanted to participate in the project. I always love other creatives, and especially I love how people hear different things. So it was just like a project of love. And I was just like, hey, do you want to pick a song? You want to try to like redo it? And a lot of people said yes. And when I remember, all of them, I think, are fantastic. I remember specifically listening to Little Dragon's version of Presence. And there's this drum outro at the end that I absolutely did not expect. And the whole thing rises and gets to this like fever pitch. And I just, God, I thought it was so cool. And I couldn't really have thought of that myself. And that's the magic of the whole thing. And then also I loved Michael Kiwanuka's version of 13th Century Metal, just absolutely insane. And also Bon Iver's version of Short and Sweet is still one of my favorites to this day. I'll still sit down and listen to that. And yeah, I just love what people did with it. I just think it's such a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I loved what Donald Glover did as well. I thought it was, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Fred Again? Come on, everybody's brilliant. Everybody's brilliant.
It's true. Those songs were so personal, like you didn't mind kind of like trusting him, putting him in the hands of somebody else, if that makes sense.
No, not at all. I didn't even give it a second thought, really. I was just like, these people are all good. I can't wait to hear what they do.
You've always received such like warm encouragement from like other musicians, like throughout the years of doing this, like right across the spectrum, like from literally like Adele to Tyler the Creator, Chris Martin to Kendrick Lamar. What does that sort of support mean to you when somebody speaks highly of your work? Does it fuel you in any way, or are you the kind of person that sort of just goes, oh, that's nice, thanks very much, but you know, I'm just doing my own thing?
No, I think it's incredibly humbling, because I'm all, my reaction is always like, oh my God, they know who I am. Like, that's literally my reaction, because I don't know who's listening to what. I don't really know how far my work's getting. That's not something I really pay a lot of attention to. Like, I'm just here trying to live a good, peaceful life. And then I make music sometimes, and then I'll put it out and I'll support it and I'll do all this work. And it's just so amazing to me when people I respect and look up to are doing the same thing with me. And it just makes it so, yeah, encouraging is definitely the word, like so encouraging, like, okay, I'm on the right path. I'm doing the right thing. I can still do this, you know? And, I just have high regard for, everyone you just listed. Like, I just think they're inspirations, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What? How incredible is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you got to play some shows with Kendrick Lamar going back a couple of years. I reckon Kendrick Lamar, fly fishing, Europe, 2025. You should do that thing.
All right. If Kendrick hears this, like, listen, I'll meet you where you are. We'll go fishing. We can talk about meditation. We can play some flutes. We can hang out.
That sounds like the kind of invitation he can't refuse.
Well, I will see. He's a busy guy.
And what about meditation? Is that you practice transcendental meditation? Is that right?
Yeah, I do. I do twice a day.
And how has that come to develop for you? And how does that help you? And how does that feed into your mindset, creative process?
Some people have brains that never stop. It's just an endless barrage of thoughts and meaningless chatter. And then on top of living in a world that's also chaotic and full of information 24/7, it can really shortwire a lot of things. It just becomes incredibly overwhelming, and you lose track of time and you forget important things you're supposed to do. Like, you just can't catch up, you know? And so I feel like with the transcendental meditation, it's created a lot of space for me to have more peace, like mentally. And of course, if you have peace there, everything else spreads from that. And it's just made me a kinder, more patient person with more capacity just for the world in general and all the people and things and puppies in it.
Yeah. Just think about the puppies. The album What Now, it's kind of I love the quote that you gave about it, which was just like, we all feel like some of us feel like we're in a world just sort of trying to hang on to our soul. Like, we're just sort of gripping on, just thinking like, what can go wrong next, basically? And then it sort of comes with this sense of like existential dread, and you know, and that can feel like a bit of a downward spiral, I guess. So I wondered, like, how have you, if it's been like that for a few years, right? Like, yeah. And I wondered, day to day, like, how are you with that, stuff? Do you find yourself scrolling on your phone, like doom scrolling, looking at the bad news? Do you find yourself like having to just like not do that, like just put that aside, I'm gonna not engage sometimes for the benefit of my own sanity? What do you do with all of that stuff?
What do I do with all of it? It depends. No, I do not doom scroll. In fact, I have a pretty healthy relationship with my phone. I don't know where it is most of the time. That's good. That's a good thing. I think what's more important than cell phones is personal relationships. And if one of my friends comes to me and they're really disturbed by something going on in the world, we'll talk about it. And sometimes you can feel very helpless and powerless living in this world and seeing all the news from so far away of really terrible, awful things happening. All I can do is support my friend sometimes, you know, not all the time. But sometimes it's like the people around me who are scared need love, and I am blessed to be able to provide that. And sometimes it's just the things around us is the only things we can control. And I lean into that. And that sometimes that's all you got. And on the other hand, sometimes you can do more. And when I find the opportunity to do that, I'll also lean into that, especially in my community. We got a lot of stuff going on just here where I'm from, as far as trans rights go, and also some gerrymandering. And that's stuff that I'm able to contribute to. And I do that because I just want for everybody to live a peaceful life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. What's the kind of sense there? Have you been able to join some marches and things like that around the trans rights in the region?
Oh, for sure. There are marches, and there's also just a lot of community outreach that we have here. And there's a lot of lawyers who are doing really, really good work that you're able to support. And also as musicians, we get together and we put on this huge concert. Here, it was last year, to raise money and to support each other in the LGBTQ community. And I feel really lucky to be here surrounded by people like that, because it is Tennessee and it is the South and it is slow for progress, but there's still people here on the ground that are taking care of each other.
Yeah, and historically, obviously, an incredibly important place in terms of forging progress, like social progress. So, like, you know, the fact that it's still happening now is both discouraging because we wish it wasn't, but equally, like, you know, you it sounds like you've met a community of people that are really forging like a positive pathway there.
Oh yeah, well, and there'll always be people like that in places like this. And we'll never stop.
Does 2024 and the kind of specter of elections and whatnot, how does it make you feel about how it's all going to kind of unfold?
Oh, dear Jesus. Next question.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, we'd have to dedicate a whole podcast to that, no doubt.
Yep.
I mean, just sort of sticking on the theme of the kind of what now and that sense of like overwhelm and you know, a world kind of slightly out of control. There's the Maya Angelou poem that you sample on the albums, really, really resonant and a beautiful moment in terms of the flow of the whole thing. I wondered if you'd talk a little bit about the how you first came across that piece, what you love about it, and why you wanted to include it on the record, and what the point of including it on the record was.
Sure. So I'm really inspired musically by people's voices. Sometimes I can just hear someone speak, and to me, it's like music. So Maya Angelou has one of those voices. I consider it like this really beautiful fabric, you know? And so I was cleaning my baseboards in my house, and I just had it on the loudspeaker. And it would just, it was YouTube, it would play like a bunch of different speeches or people reading her poetry. And then it started playing the speech she was giving to the United Nations. And I was listening to what she was saying, and I was like, oh, wow. And I go to TV, and I'm watching it. And I was just so incredibly moved by it, like what she was saying. And the way I interpreted it was humans, you know, have always been a destructive force. But we have so much potential because we're also such a super creative force. Like when we work together, we can just keep adapting and keep inventing and keep building bridges. And it's just like incredible what we could do. And I just thought it was so courageous for her to talk to these nations, some of which, like, you know, who knows? Everybody has agendas. And she's sitting here just talking to them about something so human. And I was like, you know, I just really relate to that right now. It was during the pandemic when I heard it. And obviously, we had to shelter in place and we couldn't touch each other or see each other. And I was fine with it at first, but then I started missing people. Like, even their shittiness, like, just, you know, people cussing at each other and just people. People waving at each other and giving that weird smile. just little things I didn't know I'd miss. And I felt so inspired by her words, and it made me rethink on humanity. And so I just wanted to sit down and kind of express myself. And, you know, I'm not as eloquent as her, but I was just like, you know, I feel that way too. I feel that way too. And so I wanted to put that on the album. And I wanted, you know, a lot of people have heard that speech, but for those who haven't, I just wanted to share that. And I just wanted to make sure that they could check it out.
I also love the fact that it's sort of, the songs on the album also kind of orbit around that moment as well. It's a lovely kind of like this sort of magnet in the middle of the record. So like, yeah, it's such a great touch.
Yeah, thank you. And what a gorgeous voice to sink down into. Also very meditative.
I also love the variety on the album. The fact that like Prove It To You is like a massive club banger. Like I can't wait to hear that song like in a festival field or in a club, like a sweaty basement club. Like what, you know, that's the kind of thing that you wouldn't have been able to put on an Alabama Shakes record, obviously. But like, where did that song come from?
Listen, I don't know. I started using this new software. Usually I use Logic when I'm recording. This time I used Reason. I've never used it before. So I'm just like messing around in it. And so I just started making like a 4-on-the-floor beat. And it was super fun. And then I added all the elements. And I was like, I actually like this. This is actually banging. And then I just started singing and these words just started coming out. And then the hook happened. And I was like, man, this is cool. And I didn't think that I would put it on an album, but it just ended up on there. I was like, I don't know. It still belongs. I know it's out of left field, but it still belongs. And this is still me. You know, I'm not doing anything that's not me. I love all this type of music. I love the Boiler Room. I love house music. I always have. And so why not try my hand at it? Just very simply try my hand at it.
I reckon you should make a whole album of like of banging club anthems. It's so, yeah, it's so good.
That's a great idea. I should. I could be like Marshmallow. You know, put something on my head. I don't know.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I wanted to add, I mean, What Now, the title track on the album as well, is so, such a kind of fantastic kind of moment. And it, you know, so powerful, reminds me of so many amazing artists, including people like Prince, in terms of just the sounds and just the vibrancy of it. And it reminded me that once upon a time, you went and played at Prince's house, like 2015, Alabama Shakes went and played there, right? Went to Paisley Park. Like, what, how does that happen? Like, do you get an email from somebody saying, do you want to bring all of your kit and come to Prince's house to play a show?
So sort of. We had played in Minneapolis at like First Ave. And I think that's where Purple Rain was shot. So some people from Prince's, crew came to the show and they enjoyed the show. And I don't know if someone asked Prince, like, hey, they're good. You know, I don't know what happened. But the next thing we know, Prince's assistant is like calling and is like, hey, do you think that they could stay and do Paisley Park tomorrow? And obviously we bent over backwards to make that happen. And yeah, we get to the compound. There's some rules like no cussing and no eating of meat and stuff like that, which, you know, regrettably we did break all them rules, but what are you going to do? And then we waited around, you know, we did some sound checking. And then Prince apparently was like, hey, Prince would like to meet you guys. Do y'all want to come back there? And so, like, I was like, if I'm going to meet Prince, everybody's going to meet Prince. So, like, 15 of us went back into his little studio. And there he was. And, you know, he's just like a, you know, like a small frame guy. And he was wearing all beige and some natural linen toms. I'll never forget them. He was wearing natural linen toms. And we sat down on this couch, we, like, shoved all of us on this couch, and he was funny. Like, he was a funny guy. And so we were, like, cutting up and laughing. And then he was like, well, I'd like to play Give Me All Your Love with you. What key is it in? And I was so shocked I forgot what key it was in. I was like, I have no idea. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll tell you at a later date. But yeah, please hop up there and do it. So I'm in shock because, like, Prince is, like, number one in my household. Like, just from the time I even had ears, I was listening to Prince. And so it's showtime, right? Fast forward, it's showtime. We're playing that song and Prince isn't showing up. He just hasn't shown up. And we're like, oh no, he changed his mind. And I'm like, oh. So we get to the like the kind of bridge section where the song changes, right? And we're playing it, we're playing it, we're playing it, we're playing it. He never shows up. So we end the song. But then he does show up. He jumps on the stage like it was nothing. It must have been a 6-foot stage. He just leaps in the air. And I was like, what? He picks up the guitar. And he starts shredding. So we start it back up again. And me and Prince do like kind of like we do like a little double solo moment. And we probably up there 5 minutes. And it was incredible. Like, he played incredibly. And then after it's all said and done, the crowd's going crazy. He jumps off the stage and he kisses me on the cheek, jumps off the stage and disappears into nothing. Like, it's literally like he disappeared in thin air. And I was just like, what? He's a shapeshifter. I swear. Like, I was like, in my eyes playing tricks on me. He just disappeared. And, you know, that was the last I saw Prince, but he did call me. After the show, it was all said and done. Everybody's packed up. We're getting on the bus. And Trevor, his assistant, passes me the cell phone. And he's like, someone wants to talk to you. And I go, hello? And he goes, hey, that was pretty fun, wasn't it? And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, yeah, it was so fun. I was like a little girl. I was like, yeah. And he was like, be checking your email because I'm going to get in touch with you because I want to make some music with you. And I was like, yes. Absolutely. And I checked my email, all of my emails, every day. I checked the spam, the junk, everything, every day until the day I heard he passed away. And, you know, rest in power, Prince. And that's my Prince story, you know.
It's such a good story. And you're right. I mean, Prince, he sadly passed like, I don't know, less than a year later than that show. Like, yeah. What a shame you didn't get to go back to the studio and make some music.
Well, what's meant to be will be, I suppose.
Yeah, and you definitely had your Prince moment.
Yeah, and that meant everything to me. Being noticed by somebody like that, to me, was just the pinnacle. It was the pinnacle, yeah.
Did you manage to get... I know that like your parents are super proud of everything that you've done. Like, I mean, you said that it was such a big deal growing up, like Prince in your household. Mm-hmm. Were they there, or were they there for that show? And if they weren't, what did they make of it when you got to tell that story for the first time?
My dad said, what? Everybody was super elated. Everybody was super excited. Everybody was beside themselves. You know, it was just like, oh my God, Britney played with Prince. Of course, my dad tells everybody in the entire town. And it was impromptu, so it wasn't like I could prepare. Like, Dad, fly out here right now, you know? It was so short notice. But, yeah, my dad's super proud. Even to this day, yeah, my dad tells it like he was there. Yeah.
Oh, I bet he does.
Yeah.
Final couple of things before I let you go. Your solo work, I love it. And it's so, like, exploratory, and it's your opportunity to kind of visit every different part of yourself and your kind of, like, your musical interests, like you're just saying, like, you know, make a club banger. Yeah, great. Stick it on there. And honestly, yeah, you're right. It doesn't feel out of place whatsoever. It's just like, it's just the flow of the thing. It just comes. So like, in terms of music making going forward, are you kind of like, do you ever imagine like doing an Alabama Shakes thing again? Or can you explore what you need to explore by doing other things?
I don't know yet. You know, the whole thing is, I'm very grateful that I was put on this earth with the ability to kind of craft this talent of singing and making music. And I've always been really grateful for that, for the opportunity to do it on such a level. And I feel like my job is to follow that creativity and that passion. And I just go wherever it takes me. You know, I've done a lot of different projects, and I just go wherever I'm receiving music. And so the way I see it is, if I start thinking like, oh, it'd be really great to play with the guys again, I feel like creatively drawn to do this. That's a conversation I'll have with the guys and we'll figure it out from there. But like, as of right now, it's just been like this really amazing process of letting myself be seen and be vulnerable and tell my story And so I'm just following that, and I'm grateful that I received that at all.
You've inspired me to get out and do some fishing. I feel like I need to do this now. What's your top tip for getting started? If I wanted to go and do some fly fishing, what should I do? What do I need? Where should I start?
I'm gonna be honest with you. Just go to a fly fish outfitter. So like you just call the fly fishing shop and you say, hey, I'm really interested in learning how to do this. They will just give you a guide. He will take you out. You will catch fish and you'll be able to tell if you like it or not. Like you can go do this thing on your own, but it's just so much easier and more efficient if you just get someone to help you. That's my advice.
Top tip. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really, really enjoyed speaking to you. And I wish you all the best for the months to come and everything that's happening for you right now.
Oh, thank you so much. Me and Willie say thank you for having us on. It's been a blast.
Midnight Chats is a joint production between Loud and Quiet and Atomized Studios for iHeartRadio.
It's hosted by Stuart Stubbs and Greg Cochran, mixed and mastered by Flo Lines, and edited by Stuart Stubbs.
Find us on Instagram and TikTok to watch clips from our recordings and much, much more. We are Midnight Chats Pod.
For more information, visit loudandquiet.com.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing.
This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.